Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
A message from McAfee. Wondering why the post office is texting you? Or why you owe thousands of dollars in toll fees? Because someone's trying to scam you. The good news? McAfee can help. With McAfee's award-winning scam detection, it's easy to tell what's real and what's fake. Over text, in your inbox, and online. If they're fake...
You want a free gift?
Seriously? If they're faking it, they're not making it past us. Get award-winning scam detection today. McAfee.com/keepitreal.
Every drop of Jack Daniel's is mellowed through sugar maple charcoal, giving Jack its smooth taste. That's what makes Jack, Jack.
Please drink responsibly. Jack Daniel's and Old No. 7 are registered trademarks. Tennessee whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee.
You're listening to the Go Birds Podcast.
Hey, hello. It is the Go Birds Podcast. Elliot Shore Parks, James Seltzer with ya. Another reports.
Yeah.
Things happening. I
got so many thoughts.
I feel like you should be careful about what you say in the Novigrad Complex because there could be a report about it.
Yes.
the loosest lipped building there is.
I also think, like, just with our lives in general, I feel like almost everything I say is in front of a microphone.
I know.
So
I know.
There's not many things I say.
All right. I want to get into all that, but quickly, I have to start here.
Yes.
Because I just found this out listening to some. I think you know where I'm going.
I do. You're the fourth person to bring it up since I walked in the building.
So Jordan Mailata calls you Eli?
Yeah.
So we heard it. We're just playing the audio for you guys. And everyone check out the Jordan Mailata show. Yeah. Elliot, Spike, and Jordan Mailata.
Interesting one as always.
And he's like, well, Eli. And we're all like, wait, what did he say?
Dude, sorry. Let me tell you about this.
I need some context here.
I've known Jordan since he got here. Yeah, like 17, 2018. On the roster. And one thing I will say about interacting with players is they know who I am.
Of course.
But they rarely actually say my name.
Of course. You know, you're asking them questions.
Correct. Right. Yes. It's not like I walk by and they go, hey, Elliot. Like they'll go like, hey, what's up? Like,
yeah.
So I know that they know my name, but they don't actually say it often. Yeah. So I've known Jordan for, again, like 7, 8 years, however long he's been here. We talk. We have a good relationship. We do the show together.
Yeah.
And about a year ago, he started to call me Eli. And the first few times he did it, I was genuinely like, does he know my name is Elliot or does he think my name is Eli?
Right. Yeah.
So at first I was like, I think he's just wrong. But like, it's weird to correct somebody.
Oh, yeah.
About
it's a weird
that.
Spot. Yeah.
In the situation.
Oh, so you're just happy he's even saying a name.
Exactly.
At that point. It's correct. Like, okay. So he's like addressing me personally.
Yes,
that's
like,
fine.
Right. Then honestly, we're really going to peel back the curtain.
Oh, that's what we're doing here. Yeah.
I thought there was like a month where I was like, is he doing this in a passive-aggressive way?
Is he
messing with me?
I was going to say, believe
like, did
me,
I
yeah.
do something yeah, where he's like, messing
hey,
with
Eli.
Me? Exactly. Correct. But Then about a few weeks ago, he said something. I think he honestly said like the Jordan Mailata show with Elliot Shore Park. So he acknowledged that he knows. So I think
he just likes to call you Eli.
I think it's a nickname.
Yeah. Oh, I think it must be. Yeah.
I'm but surprised. the weirdest thing about it, I've been on this earth for now 38 years. Not a single person
has ever thought
ever called me Eli.
Maybe it's an Australian thing. I'm surprised, knowing Spike like I know Spike, that Spike has never brought it up in a show.
Yeah.
Like, I'm surprised. Like, it feels like that's a guy that Spike would be like, hey, by the way, just so you know. Like, I'd love to do that.
I will say, though, Jordan doesn't say it on air a ton. It's more off air, like, jokey kind of thing.
Hey, Eli.
But yes, like, so last night, we're talking about the Jalen Hurts thing, and I gave my opinion on it, and he agreed.
He's like,
so
I agree with you, Eli.
I'm on the same way, like, Eli. And I'm like, all right. Fair enough, Jay. Like,
Jordan.
Yeah. Jordan. Dan, should I call him Dan?
You should probably call him. Yeah, I was going to say Dan. That's exactly Dan. Right. The weird thing that no one's ever called him.
Eli is not right, a Lada. Nickname. Like, yeah, exactly. Like, Eli is a completely different name.
Yes.
Like, honestly, I think when people call you Jimmy, I don't super like it. I think James.
Guess what? Same, buddy.
Yeah, right?
I'm like, a James. A
completely different
I'm
name.
I'm James, yes. It's fine. I've been called Jim my whole life. Like, and there are certain, it's funny, 'cause you know, I worked in sales for a while.
Yeah.
One of the sales jobs I had for a couple of years was energy safety. So going to like refineries and petrochemical plants and like trying to sell like breathing
you
air
don't
gas.
Seem like someone I would want.
In I that, hated it. Yeah. Hated it. But it was like, situation. It was like, I could literally say, hey, James Seltzer, nice to meet you. They'd be like, hey, Jim.
Good yeah.
To like, it was like automatically, no I sense. Was just Jim. Like there was no chance that I was James.
It's not even remote. Honestly, we talked about something last
ridiculous.
Pod.
Yeah,
Richard like, and
yeah,
the other word.
Yeah, you could say it, Dick.
I think more of a curse word than the S word.
As we saw last pod, we just dropped the S word.
Exactly. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Tucker so McCoil.
He calls me Eli. Eli Shore Parks.
I'm at it.
You know what's gonna happen now? People are gonna start coming up to me.
Oh yeah.
Say,
you were like, oh, no one's ever called me Eli. Guess what, pal?
Yeah. So. I've never once said a single thing
about
it.
Thanks,
to him.
Jordan.
So if he listens, I can't imagine he listens
to
this.
No, not
pod,
to this one. Not to
if
this
he does, one. Maybe he'll hear and say something.
Be like, oh, Elliot, hello.
Yeah.
Be good.
Another Jordan Mailata thought quickly before we get into this stuff.
Anything we could do to avoid.
He is. So I've done a lot of radio shows with players, right? I've done the BG
no
show.
Deal, yeah.
Yeah, no big deal to Mailata. Like N'Kobe, Miles Sanders, Darius Slay, like all that, right?
Keeps going.
No big deal to me. I have never been around a player that is harder on themselves than Jordan Mailata.
Really?
He is almost inconsolable last night.
Really?
You should listen. Like, yeah, I'm sure you guys played the audio about him talking about Jalen.
Yeah, we did.
Other than that, four or five times in the show, he made comments on his own about how bad he played. And like, basically being like I said something about, you know, the defense was
well,
awesome.
Even the comment on Jalen, he's like, blame us. Blame
exactly.
The offensive line.
Yeah.
Like, that was
exactly.
Where he went with it.
So,
yeah.
He's very harsh on himself. I mean, you can listen to the
I
show.
I don't
know if Tucker posted yet.
I love that.
But me and
it's on YouTube.
Me
and watch it.
Yeah, if you want to watch it on YouTube, so you can see his face. But like,
sad face.
Yeah.
So
me
sad.
And Spike at the end of the episode were basically like, hey, man, it's all right. Like,
wow, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
all right.
He's an emotional man, which I can appreciate. We're emotional guys.
Oh, yeah, buddy. You kidding me?
Yeah. And it's funny because, and I said
think
this.
You can sing with that kind of soul unless you got emotion.
It's true.
You know?
I said this to him last night. I said, you know, last year you were viewed as the best offensive lineman in the league. And now, you know, I feel like you don't think you're playing as well, but you're still,
you're still good, buddy. You're still good,
you're,
pal.
You know, you're still top 15. Like it's not.
Hey Jordan, you might be not be number one, but you're like one of the 15 or 16.
You know
best.
What else is funny? Seriously. So then we did the Tanner McKee show and, or it's not called that, the Players Lounge with Tanner McKee. And at one point I go Tanner. So how do you think Jalen played? And Tanner, like, you mean like grade? And I legit think if Ike didn't stop him, he was going to grade Jalen.
Oh, God.
If Ike didn't say no, just how he played, I think Tanner would have been like, oh,
B plus.
Yeah. I think I legit think he was going to grade him. It was, yeah.
It would have been epic.
I would have loved to see.
Epic. All right. Before we get to Jalen, let's start with, because I do think it deserves to be mentioned first, the Lane Johnson.
Well, it's getting
news.
Buried by everything.
Yeah.
But
I want to mention it first, because I do think, and you said it on the air today, and it was my first thought both in Green Bay last week when he got, you know, carted off the field. And then again, this game when he was limping off and they showed him in the, you know, you didn't see it, but on the TV, they showed him in like the tunnel going back, whatever. My first thought was, oh, I hope that's not the last time I see Lane Johnson play football.
Yeah.
Like, because he talked about in the offseason, it's clearly on his mind. He's been beat up this year. It's been a kind of a tough year for him. I know he said he wanted to honor his contract, but I don't know. Like, it feels like it's just been one of those years for Lane where between the in and out, the injuries, the not playing his best when in.
I mean, how many games has he played?
Yeah, it just feels like it feels like it could be the end. And it would be really sad. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer, you know?
So that, I think, is a discussion worth having. I think, though, too, like for the...
How do they react?
Right, so I guess
the team moving forward. Yeah, let's go with Lane and then we'll get to the moving forward. I think that Lane first.
I would put the chances that Lane has played his last snap with the Eagles at 20%.
I was going to say 30.
I actually almost went 30 and dropped it. Because I do think he'll play again this year. I do.
Oh, so I don't.
No, yeah, I heard you say this.
So my buddy is a foot surgeon. Like he is a foot doctor. You know, like he texted me and said, if it's really the injury they say it is, he's not coming back this year. That's what he said to me point blank. So like, here, who knows?
He's not inspecting.
He doesn't know how bad all that. But
it's good information.
His opinion based on what was reported was that he does not think Lane will be back.
But my only thing,
but who knows? Reporting is different than to your point. Like doctors see what's in there. And also he's working on normal people, not high level athletes. Like who knows?
Yes.
So, but that was just what my buddy who is a foot surgeon
said. So the initial report was, I think at first it was like a few weeks and then it was 4 to 6 weeks. And then it's they're
back to the playoffs.
They don't think it's going to be season ending. So slowly the time frame is moving back a little bit. I do think the Eagles and Lane, for what it's worth, have incentive, unless they know he is out, just to be like, he could come back.
Of course.
Right.
You don't want to say, unless it's like he is getting surgery and he's done. You don't want, why would you put it out there?
Unless there's that 10% chance that he's just Lane and he plays in four games, which I would not rule out. I think the chances are he doesn't come back until the playoffs. And honestly, without knowing the injury, like, I would not play him until the playoffs more than like, you never know, things change. If in 5 weeks they've lost 4 or 5 games and he's healthy, then okay, then you play him. But I think the best thing that could happen for this team is when the playoffs start, Lane is the most healthy he can.
It's like a BG thing from last year in a weird way, a little similar type of thing.
True.
It was the Super Bowl, but like the idea of can he come back? If you play long enough, keep winning, whatever.
Yeah.
It's that kind of.
Well, and the other thing too, this is related, but I don't know how hard we hit this on the post game pod, but I think they're going to the Super Bowl. I'm just putting that out. Like when I think of this team in my own life, I am planning on being in San Francisco in February, just flat out. Like
Santa Clara.
I'll be in San Francisco. I mean, I think they're going to be the one seed. You never know, but I think they're probably gonna be the one seed. I don't think anybody's coming into Philadelphia and beating them. I feel really strongly about that. And I think even if they're the 2 or 3 seed, I'm not worried about going to LA. In LA would be harder for sure, I think, than here, just because the Rams, I think, can put up points. And obviously the issue with this team is the offense. But I bring this all up to say, I would handle Lane as if I am playing games in late January and early February. And so I would wait until he is as healthy as he could possibly be till I put him back out there. Also worth noting that while they have struggled with Lane traditionally, they were 5-1 without Lane. Without Lane traditionally, they're 5-1 without him last year. It's not the perfect stat.
Well, I also like the whole Lane stat that goes around the record without him. Like
so long ago, that's
it's
the other thing.
And also, it's bad teams. Like the 2016 team. Like yes, losing Lane hurt them, but they were not. I know they started 3-0, but that wasn't a great football team.
Agreed.
Like they were always going to be a 7-9, 6-10 type of team.
I agree.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And I think the one prior to that was another year where it wasn't like the greatest of teams. Like I feel like that stat is skewed a little bit compared to
I agree with you on that. Like Lane's a great player. They miss him and all that, but the stats people tweet out comparing this team.
Losing we even people say like it's more important to lose that you'd rather lose Hurts than Lane. It's like nonsense.
Yeah, agreed. So yeah, I full agree with you on that. And I think Fred Johnson last year was not that good, but it's worth noting he went up against like Trey Hendrickson, Michael
Parsons.
I think
the bigger issue is not Fred Johnson. It's the Matt Pryor, because we know how much they
the extra package.
They love the extra package. It's been such a big positive part of their offense this year. I think it's that next step down. And then obviously if someone else gets hurt, I think it's depleting the depth is the big issue. And then how that the six linemen.
And also, I don't think Cam's playing on Sunday. Just putting that out there.
Like you're going to have two backup linemen.
Maybe he plays, but I'd put it at like 5%.
It wouldn't be surprised. Left the last game as healthy. It wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. So they're going to be out two of their guys. So you're going to have Brett Toth.
And against the interior of that Cowboys line, which is the strength of the defense all of a sudden.
Yeah. I don't know how Quinnen Williams played.
He was
last
awesome.
Night. He was awesome.
I didn't watch the game, but from what I heard, he was great.
Okay. Well, bad news for the Eagles. I mean, yeah, like all your backup good offensive linemen are now going to be playing, right? So you know, I'm not crushing the Eagles for it, because it's really hard to have good backup offensive linemen. Almost no team has good backup offensive linemen, but no question they're thin there, like almost every team is. So yeah, I mean, losing Lane is a big deal. There's no other way.
No other way to put it. And look,
and for an offense that's already struggling.
Well, it's interesting. This is the first time, you know, in these runs that they've had serious injuries and things that they've kind of had to move through.
The only positive I could think of Lane being out, if we really wanted to think of a glass quarter way full look of is he has been in and out.
Yeah.
You know, so I said quarter way full to be clear.
I got it.
Because I meant it's not
You're not even half full. Well, it was more the Tucker gave a look.
I did. It's just, it's not the expression.
I think it's actually a great expression I just made up.
I actually like what you did.
Correct, right? It's good.
I don't even want to say half full.
I think it was kind of brilliant.
I think it was too.
Thank you. So
how long were you sitting on that?
Just thought of it.
See.
My best ideas honestly happen when I don't put too much thought into them. Like very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's my best tweets too. My best tweets.
I heard that. The best tweets are always the ones you just fire off.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Those are the ones that always go viral. Is Twitter working again, by the way?
I think it's back up.
Yes.
Okay.
You okay? Made it.
Well, it did make me think about how lonely, honestly, I kind of felt. Like,
that's sad.
I know.
That's really sad.
I know. Like, I was like, I have nothing to text my friends about. I have nothing to look at online. I mean, it was just like
it's a big
part of my life.
I know.
And now I'm lucky because I have friends and I have the radio show and I have Instagram and all that. But like, but imagine if you didn't.
I don't. I have no other social media.
Well, you're used to it,
though. I was great. You know what I did? I read Kindle on my phone. It was life
wild.
Yeah, it was really, really.
By the way, and we really are bantering a lot here. But so Sarah Jessica Parker said she read 135 books last year.
Sure.
Just want to put it out here. That's way too many books. That is a book every other day, basically. That you are not processing that book. What do you?
Glorious.
Is there a full time job just sitting and reading all the time?
Sounds glorious,
but that's too many books.
Yeah, I read.
Are you really thinking about the book? Are you really processing the book, or is your mission just to read as many books?
Well, hold up. I think
it's
like
one every 3 days.
I think it's also depends on what type. I mean, a lot of books are meant to just enjoy. Like they're
the books are relatively long. I mean,
right, my point is like there are a lot of fiction books that are meant to just read and have fun with. You're not necessarily having to process deep thoughts or remember history or whatever. You're just enjoying a story. You know,
I just think it's a lot of books.
No, I think it sounds freaking awesome. If I could read, if I had the time to read 135 books in a year, I would in a second.
Yeah.
Sounds awesome. Shout out to you, SJP.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm a Sarah Jessica Parker fan.
I know you are. You're a much bigger fan of her than I am. So,
like, that being said, the last season of Ingest Like That was really bad. I'm happy they ended it. But regardless, I just think that's a lot of books.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
the Lane thing's bad.
So you're saying you don't read. You're saying you're anti-reading. Got it.
No, I'm pro-reading. I'm running a book drive.
Well,
I'm
just saying, a bad couple minutes you just had then.
I think when you read, you should fully take it in.
135 books sounds awesome. I would love to read 135 books in a year.
Over 2 or 3 years. It's just a lot of books.
Reading's so great.
I'm pro-reading.
It doesn't sound like
it. I couldn't read when Twitter was down. Trust me.
That's the issue right there.
Yeah.
Read books, not Twitter. Maybe if you were reading less Twitter, you could pump out more books.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, you have more Lane thoughts. I mean, Lane being out, Cam being out. I do think too, and I'm sure we'll get into this with the Jalen thing. Like the offensive line's
been the biggest issue all year.
It's a problem.
It just has. Like from a play perspective, and we're gonna get into the behind the scenes and the philosophy and the coaching versus Jalen and all this stuff. But I think just what we watch on the field execution each week, the offensive line is easily the biggest issue.
I agree. They're used to having a great offensive line. They do not have a great offensive line.
I do kind of blame you a little bit.
Fair.
Just a little bit because
I can't imagine you'll be wrong.
This is the first this year. I think it was the first time you're ever like, you know what?
Yeah, hands up. That's fair. You're right.
I just trust Outland. It was the first time you're like, finally, I'm there.
Yeah. That being said, they are 8-2.
I've thought about that a few times.
No, you're right.
It was like you did this whole bit about how you're like,
I know. I'm done.
Fully on.
They were fine in training camp, from what I remember. I mean, I don't remember off the top of my head.
It was just really funny. I remember.
Yeah.
It.
I mean, it's a problem. And I think the main problem is mostly just the cycling guys in and out. And so that
there's no continuity.
The one positive. If Fred's going to play, at least
there's continuity and cohesion, hopefully, which is the most important thing with an offense.
Now, if Fred goes down,
that's what I'm talking about.
Trouble.
That's where the issue takes the next step is like your depth has been seriously depleted at a spot where you can't afford any more issues.
Yeah. And
so that's what you should have said to Milata. Hey, Jordan, as long as you don't get hurt, you're still better than what they got otherwise.
I think Jordan is hurt, honestly.
No, I know. As long as you keep playing, you're better than your backup.
Yeah.
There you go. That would have made him feel good. Hey, man, you're better than your backup.
Yeah. Anything I could have thought of to make him feel better.
But like, you know what he would have said? Thanks, Eli.
Yeah, it's what he would have said, really honestly. Nice. Good point, Eli. Like, you're welcome, Dan.
I really appreciate it.
He's Eli. I'm Dan. I'm going to end my Lotta show like that next
Dan
time.
Dan would be really funny.
Well, it's funny because Spike's name's Brett, too. So it's just like.
I know. No one's actually been called by the name there.
Yeah.
All right.
Jalen,
should we do it?
Yeah.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
I'm so tired. Like, so here's where I'm at. And I'll
Should we recap it all? I mean, people must have heard it.
I'm just saying overall, like,
I mean, for people that don't know the story.
I'm just
I got you.
My point is, I'm just tired of stories.
Yeah.
I'm tired of knowing what is going on in that locker room. I am tired of knowing that people are upset about this or about that or about that. They're 8-2. They won the Super Bowl last year. Can you all shut up? Shut the bleep up. Like, I don't want any more reports. And by the way, just for those out there, because I've seen some weird stuff, like, Derek Gunn is infallible in my mind.
I think he is the best.
Derek Gunn
says
it.
Him and Ruben Frank.
I flat out believe it. Like, he is as connected as anyone has ever been in that locker room. Like, full stop. So, there's none of this is this true BS out there, whatever.
It's obviously true.
It's nonsense. It might, now, it is opinions in a locker room.
Correct.
It is not everyone, it is not whatever. Like, Derek Gunn talked to specific people, but I think there are people who told Derek Gunn that.
Yeah.
Full stop.
Okay.
Now, what does it mean? Is the question. My big thing is, I think the biggest issue I have is the report itself, is the fact that we talked about the morning or the radio show. Like, it is never a good sign.
Yes.
Of a high functioning locker room when you keep having leaks every week. And that's my concern, because they're 8-2. I think on the field, they just keep winning. They just keep powering through these things. And I think they probably will, right? Like, I think, like, I don't think this is like going to submarine the season, but I'm just concerned about the fact that there's just every freaking week, even some multiple times a week, there's just so much leaking out of that locker room about people not being happy. Where do you stand on the
whole thing? So there's so many layers to this. I guess to start where piggyback off what you just said, I do think in some ways, the larger takeaway is the fact that people are leaking things about Jalen.
And
it's worth noting that Diana Russini also wrote this 2 days ago, right? Something similar, not as detailed, but it's not just Derek Gunn. This is now the second reporter to come out over 4 days that have people being negative of Jalen anonymously through the media, right? So, you know, and I, not to get into a whole discussion and people like put your name on it, like whatever. I'm not doing all that.
We're just past it. That's just not the way things
work. It's not the way things work. So
we'll never hear anything if people like at any point from anyone about anything.
And honestly, this is not a blame the media thing, but a reality of following a team in a major city with a major media market with 20 reporters of many whom are very good is you're going to get more stuff because there's just more attention, more media, more all that, right?
There's more people to
exactly,
give stuff
correct.
To.
Yeah. So that's not blaming the media. That's just, everyone's like, why is it always a big deal in Philadelphia? Because Philadelphia is a big deal. That's why. Like, the reason, and also if we followed other teams, I'm sure we
would
see
it. So that's what I was going to say.
You don't see it as much.
But, and there's stuff with every team.
Okay. So first, that part of it. As to your thing of, why is there always drama? There will always be drama around the Eagles.
No, I know there will always be drama. I'm just tired of it leaking out when they're 8-2 right now.
Yeah.
Like, we see it when there's 2020. We see it when there's struggles. 2023, when they start falling apart. But, like, when you're winning, when things are, like, theoretically, obviously things are not good in the – but, like, we don't need to know that.
Well,
like, I need the leaks to stop.
Here's what I would say, though, that I think – and it's going to sound like I'm talking on both sides of my mouth, but it's the truth. I don't think things are bad in the building. again, I'm not in the building like 24/7, but I'm in the locker room when it's open. I'm in the post game locker rooms. I'm at the practice field. Like, I don't sense bad things anymore. At the beginning of the year, when they were not playing poorly, I was a little worried about the vibes, but I think they rebounded. I think they're mostly in a good place, right? But it's also worth noting that while the Eagles are a football team, they are also a workplace. And in that way, when things aren't going well, everybody has an opinion as to why things are struggling, right? I'm sure anyone that works in a workplace has coworkers where it's like, sometimes they annoy you, whatever, right? There are different aspects of
dynamics
that. And I think that's fine. I think every workplace, every team has dynamics that are like, the vibes are not 100% great all the time. So I don't think what's coming out about Jalen is like the season's going to collapse. I don't feel that way about it anymore. I think the season is on solid ground. I think they're going to the Super Bowl. I feel fine about it. I also think this is not new. Like, this idea that players are frustrated with Jalen has been happening for a very long time. Why do we think AJ's frustrated? I hate to break to you guys. It's not Petullo. I know he gave comments last week where it's like sounded a little bit like it. When you're the top dog in the building, which Jalen is, everyone's going to point their finger at you when things aren't going well. And so when they don't play well, it's Jalen. But the flip side of that is, and what I would say to the people who are pointing their finger at Jalen is, okay, like, it's his fault now the offense isn't playing well. Then I don't want to hear when the offense is playing well that it's like, well, what a great roster. And like it's Jalen, right? Jalen controls more than anybody else on that football field. Not saying he is the best player. I'm saying he has the most responsibility. Did they win the game because of the defense? Yes. But Jalen had more to do individually than any other player on that Eagles team in that game. It's the case every time they play. So yes, Jalen changes the play. Jalen decides where the ball goes. The offense is built around Jalen. All those things are true. But then, yeah, that leads to frustration. But the flip side of that is it's also why they win. And this is what we have talked about, that Jalen is the main reason they won the Super Bowl last year. He's the main reason they're 8-2. And when the offense struggles, he's the main reason. He's the main reason when AJ doesn't get the ball. That is the reality of being the franchise quarterback.
So obviously, I agree with a lot of what you're saying and disagree at some points. I think that a lot of what you said is true. I do think, though, that I mean, there's so much gray area in all of it. Like, I do think AJ Brown doesn't look the same, like, flat out.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
And I think that last game only highlighted it for us. You're at the games. You could see the routes every play. We can't. Like, every time they went to him and forced him the ball,
he looked slow.
He looked slow and he wasn't open. He wasn't freaking open.
I agree with you.
So the offensive line has been bad. Like, we can even say not average, below average, bad. Like, so I think that there's a lot of frustration in that building. And I think that Jalen is going to take the brunt of it because that's, like you said, he's the, but I don't think that necessarily means that he is as responsible for the stuff as you think he is. I think, you know, he might be the most responsible comparatively, but I think it is a much more, like, much more gray area, much more complicated issue.
I agree with that to an extent.
And I also think that a lot of it stems from the fact that Jalen Hurts has figured out that when he doesn't turn the ball over, they win.
Yeah. Did you see the stat yesterday?
What's the stat?
Nick Sirianni, when he wins a turnover battle, is 40-2.
So there you go.
So Jalen must be relatively close.
Yeah. So, you know, and I think that the way that Jalen has to do it to not turn the ball over is to be ultra conservative. And he is willing to not take some shots where teams and players want him to, or want him to run the offense a certain way with the quickness and this and that. When Jalen is saying, I ain't turning it over, like, full stop. First thing that I care about is I'm not turning the ball over, and everything else spans from that. And he has only been emboldened in that because they win. They won the Super Bowl. They keep winning every week. So it's like, I know that, again, in this gray area, he should take a few more shots, I think. And there are certain opportunities where you do need to run things the way they're supposed to be run. But I think in a much more macro sense on the whole, I think that Jalen realizes when he doesn't turn the ball over, they win consistently and almost always.
There's something I'm going to start doing. You're welcome to join with me. Ooh. I think you'll want to. From now on, when I hear people say Jalen's too conservative with the ball, I'm going to push back and say he's being smart with the ball.
Love it.
I think the conservative thing is a negative connotation.
I love this.
Right? Like, you're in?
Full pod thing.
Okay.
He's smart with the ball
because he's not conservative with the ball. He is top 10 in attempts of 20 plus yards and top, I think, 5 in completions beyond 20 plus yards. So he throws the ball down the field. Now, there is an argument that that is a safer throw than over the middle because there's a lot more going on and it's one-on-one and you don't normally see a ton of interceptions one-on-one down the field. But that's just being smart. That's not being conservative. I think Jalen will take big shots with the ball. But yes, he prioritizes not turning the ball over. And why in the world would he not? Like, I
exactly.
Get, and yeah. I get that the offense is not scoring a lot of points and it's a problem for sure, but they are still winning. And this goes back to the Nick thing too, where I think people are too harsh on Nick of like, why do they prioritize? Like, dude, he is one of the most successful coaches in NFL history. He might just be right and we might just totally. Be wrong. Like, I don't know what to say outside of that. The record speaks for itself. We're not talking about a 3-0 team. They're 40-2 when they do it. Why in the world would they all of a sudden be like, let's be a little more aggressive? Like, why? And they are aggressive, but I mean, like, not less smart, I guess.
And look, things change in the NFL. We've seen it over the last few years where the NFL has shifted a little bit in terms of the running game is back more. And we've seen the linebacker thing and all that type of stuff. Like, maybe Nick and Jalen are ahead of the curve, guys.
Yes.
Maybe what the players want or what other teams look at, or maybe what these guys are doing is what we're going to see more moving forward because it's so freaking successful.
But I also think other teams can't do it because the thing that we all, and not even us, but the things that fans want them to feed into is like a recklessness and like almost a selfishness. I think it's hard to play quarterback.
I agree with you. I think he has,
And it's hard to be Nick and get up there every week and have people be like, hey, idiot, why don't you throw the ball? Mm-hmm. Like, right? That's basically what the questions are. Yo, moron, you realize like you're being a little
hey, moron, did you even know what was happening in
exactly,
your team?
Yeah. Hey, did you ever think of throwing the ball? And he has to sit there every week and be like, yeah, you know, blah, blah, blah. The dude is 40-2 and they win the turnover battle. I don't can't believe it's a topic of discussion, to be honest, outside of the fact it's just fun to talk about to a degree.
Yeah. Well, we'll get back into it in a sec, because speaking of this, it's important to make sure that fans are aware of certain things. And one of those is about a game plan, because while the Birds are in the thick of the season, Philly homeowners, Elliot, the game plan's not just for winter, because winter's already here, buddy.
What was it? It's like winter is coming.
Winter is coming. Winter is here.
That's it was pretty exciting when winter finally arrived. Yeah. Well, I did go to Ireland for the finale.
That's right. Yes. No big deal.
But the call is simple.
Ireland.
I did.
What does that have to do with Game of Thrones?
It's where it was shot.
Oh, was it? I didn't know that. Okay. There you
go. Did you go there for the finale or in Ireland?
So I went there for the Spice Girls and then it coincidentally.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I was like, what does Ireland have to do with it? For a moment, I thought that Elliot might think that Game of Thrones took place in Ireland many years ago. And I was like,
Well, it kind of did if it was shot there. I get your point.
Yeah, I see what you're doing. Yeah, you're not wrong. Yeah. I see what you did there. Yeah. It's good word, play. Good word.
Thank you. Yeah. But the call is simple. So you got to stop the cold from blitzing your home and sacking your wallet. Be smart about what you do. And the defense for that is a new set of windows from our friends at Window Nation.
And much like Elliot just a few seconds ago, their execution is flawless. A full window replacement in just one day. Yeah. Plus, right now, you can save 50% off all window styles. But you know what stops a lot of people? It's the budget, Elliot, especially with the holiday spending coming right around the corner.
Sometimes the budget has probably stopped me more than I allow
it. Shut it down.
Yeah, but we have...
maybe the budget should be a bigger...
Yeah, maybe we should all pay attention to the budget a little more.
You don't need to worry about that here.
Exactly. So we have good news. Window Nation special financing is about as nice as, ironically, a Jalen Hurts deep touchdown.
Bang.
Ball. You get it all done now and get 0% financing for 5 full years. You get a warmer home for this winter and the next one with a low monthly
payment.
And
the end of year sale ends soon. So don't run out the clock. Get on it right now. Get your free estimate today at windownation.com or 866-90-NATION. That's 866-90-NATION. Tucker, I love when Tucker looks at me like I'm crazy. Gives me the like, what are
well,
you?
Well, I stopped paying attention and then you start making weird sounds.
He's like, whoa, what just happened there?
So what were we talking about with the Jalen Hurts thing? I'm trying to remember where we were at with it.
We were talking about potentially, you know,
being a
smarter way to go about football and maybe that these guys have figured something out.
So there was we talked about the part with it's not fair they're leaking it to Jalen. It's a bad, I think it's lame of the people that are doing it. Like all those, look.
I really hate it. Like, I actually hate it. Yeah. I hate it. I'm so tired of it.
All right. So we agree on all that. But if we're also going to agree, it's true.
Yeah. So let's dive into that.
Yeah.
So what does that mean?
Part about like the being too conservative with the ball, and like, I don't care about all that. Right. Like, honestly, the part that's interesting to me
is the offense not running on time.
Is that the idea that he's doing his own thing and he's not listening to coaches.
Right. And the idea being that like the offense is, there's supposed to be a rhythm to the offense and it's supposed to be, you know, boom, that play, right, boom, right. That, and you're so, and it, and
yeah, because I think it's a flaw in his game. Yeah. But I think like the interesting part, and so I listened to all of what Deegan had to say pretty much. And I'm surprised this part hasn't got more attention. He essentially suggested they could trade him.
Well, he did the whole Carson Wentz, yeah. And he's like, they're not getting rid of him now. He's got him over a barrel. I was like, what is happening right now?
And
it was so like out of nowhere.
Also, like he suggested they bench him for a half. So I'm like, I don't know how much of that is his opinion. I'm sure it's a combination of like his opinion based off what he's hearing, sure, and all that. I don't think they're trading Jalen Hurts this offseason. Excuse me. I think there's a lot of reasons they won't trade Jalen. One, because they're probably winning the Super Bowl, mm-hmm, number one. So like, you're not going to trade the guy off winning the Super Bowl. Two, he's obviously awesome for them in a lot of ways. They win all the time. And three, and I think actually like the most important thing, he represents the franchise, mm-hmm, flawlessly. You could not pick a better human being to be the face of your franchise than Jalen Hurts. All that being said, I do think there is frustration with like having to coach Jalen in the way that they, like to what Derek Gunn said, he does do his own thing, right? He, I think, has limitations to his game that are difficult to coach around, and they've been good about it, and Jalen's been good about it and all that. I think the real only chance that they could potentially trade him would be, I think he's up for a new contract. This, like, it's been 3 years since his contract. He's slowly dipping down the way. I think even if they don't make the Super Bowl, they're probably going to the conference championship game. So like, he's going to have an argument for, hey, it's time to pay me. The other part of that is Tanner McKee. Are you going to keep Tanner up until the end of his rookie contract, which would be the end of next year? Or are you going to use your last opportunity to trade him for something? Yeah. I'm not saying I think Tanner McKee is the answer at quarterback. I'm just letting you know what I think from being down around the NovaCare. I think they love Tanner McKee. I think if there was a world where Jalen just, and I hope this doesn't happen, obviously, like disappeared off the face of the earth and there was no even,
be a weird thing.
It would be happen. Weird. It would certainly be emergency pod worthy. I don't think they'd trade for another quarterback.
It's like, what was that, your leftovers where like the people just disappear, right? 10% of the world.
Yeah, but I can't remember it fully.
Yeah.
But regardless,
it's like Avengers was at the Infinity War, right?
I think they would be perfectly comfortable going forward with Tanner McKee.
Oh, because you're not even bagging me up on this one. That's good.
Nailed it.
Nerds. Surprised you're not more into the Marvel stuff. That seems
I could not be less into
but
it.
I'm surprised. Like, it's rare that there's something that's like that.
Agreed.
Popular.
Yeah, yeah.
You're
right.
Just like fully. I wish
you're really into cultural phenomena.
I am, exactly.
That's my point. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say. Unless it's one that I like, and then I'll be like, nah, I don't know.
You're not really into cultural phenomena.
I was into Sinners. That was a cultural phenomenon. I saw
Sinners.
Yeah. Wow. Shocker.
Like, you know.
Yeah. It actually like the vampires and Sinners.
So I thought the first half of the movie was so much better.
I thought Sinners was great.
I loved like the vibe of the movie and building a bar and all that. Yeah. I'm not a big sci-fi guy.
I know. Well, that wasn't sci-fi. It was horror. Well, vampires are not sci-fi. Are real. They're horror.
Right, but
So vampires are closer to fantasy than to sci-fi. If you really want to, sci-fi there has to be.
But
some
sci-fi
sort of,
is fantasy, in my opinion.
Wrong.
Okay.
Well, you're about to you're stepping into some very dangerous.
We're really getting tangent
stepping
from my
into
Tanner
some very
McKee
dangerous waters here. My sci-fi has to have science involved. That's the point. Like science fiction. That's the name of the thing. Science.
Right.
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 So where's the science in vampires?
Well,
right. Where's the science in fantasy?
But where's the science in Star Trek?
Are you kidding me?
It's not real. They're not building.
But it is.
It's not real science. You're not learning about it in
the
textbook.
But like the point is, it's there's ships and there's interstellar travel and stuff. Of course, there's.
Well, there's
cars.
There's cars and Sinners. What's the difference between building a car and a spaceship? It's still something you're
building.
Sinners
took place in 1930. Whatever. What are you talking
about? There was still cars.
Of course, there were.
But I'm saying that's the sci-fi. The sci-fi part is the sci-fi part is the not real part. It's like this is not on Earth, right?
Oh my God.
I think Tucker agrees with me.
No,
I think I'm 100%. Look,
what are
you
talking
about? Should we finish the Tanner McKee thought?
Okay, we'll get to it. I'm not going to forget about Tanner McKee.
Okay, all right. Here's what I'm saying. All right, can I give me 10 seconds?
Please.
To me, science fiction is something that's not real. Obviously. Otherwise, like a movie
about
like building
an
atom would be sci-fi.
There's a different fantasy is about something that can never be real. Like vampires can. Sci-fi is about a futuristic world potentially that in a lot of like theoretically you could get. And then there's offshoots of it.
Okay.
But sci-fi is the idea of it's you take the real world and then add science or technology or whatever that we don't have yet that
so
doesn't
you would
exist.
Say, you would say Jabba the Hutt is sci-fi.
No.
Okay, correct.
Star Wars
is never going to happen.
Star Wars is both. Well, first of all, Star Wars takes place in a galaxy far, far away. You have no idea what happened to other galaxies.
Right, okay.
That's the whole point, though.
I will bet my
you
life.
You don't know. Yeah, what do you know if there's another galaxy?
Right.
You have no idea. They could be
Well, then how do you know there's not vampires in another galaxy? How do you know there's not vampires in another galaxy?
Well, I mean, it's an interesting point here, but it wouldn't.
I'm just saying it's all fake sci-fi, horror, whatever. It's all fake. That's the point I'm making.
They're the same thing. Fantasies, horror, and sci-fi are different things. There can be elements of each in things, all right. But they're different things. Independent.
I think it's nuanced.
A little bit. Certain things have both, or there's like a sci-fi fantasy like angle on things. The point is, Sinners has no sci-fi. Like, there's nothing sci-fi about Sinners.
I'm
just telling you.
I know. No, I'm just saying, like, vampires, I would think would qualify.
It doesn't, though. I'm telling you, it doesn't. Like, I mean, do you know? Here,
I guess you could say it's like a, like it's horror more, maybe.
Of
more.
Course, it is. That's why I said it was horror. Yes, it's horror.
Okay. I googled it.
Yeah, it's horror.
Well, I'm sure Google.
Science fiction is a genre of speculative fiction that explores imaginary concepts based on scientific and technological advancements. I kind of nailed exactly.
You were pretty close. Yes. Yeah.
So where's the Sinners technological advancements? That Sinners takes place in the past. There's no sci-fi in Sinners.
Right. All right. I'm just saying I'm not into sci-fi stuff, and that qualifies in my brain. Right. I don't know what you want me to say.
All right. So Tanner McKee.
Yeah. All right. Let me reset the stage. All I was saying is, I think if they could no longer move forward with Jalen as their quarterback, they like Tanner enough that they would start him. They would not trade for a quarterback. They would not draft a quarterback. Mm-hmm. They would not go out and give 3 first round picks to get Joe Burrow. They would start Tanner McKee. I think they like him that much in the building. I think the players like him that much. The coaches like him that much. Everybody likes him that much. So the only world where I think they would trade Jalen would be, let's say the offense is not great the rest of the year. Like,
he's not getting traded this season.
No, I'm just saying, I think the 2% way they would trade him is if they decide they're too frustrated with working with him. Because again, Derek Gunn did use the word frustrated. He did.
Yes, but like, I think that part of the Derek Gunn stuff is more conjecture. The trading part. I think the frustrating thing is real. I think Derek Gunn has taken a step with the trading. Like, I don't think they said we might trade him. Like, I don't think that happened.
So, trying to think how to
I think he's
this.
Looking at a similar situation that happened with Carson Wentz and comparing it to that in terms of people being frustrated with the quarterback and stuff and saying, I don't think it's to this level yet, but it could get there, whatever. I think all the other stuff is
the best way I can phrase this is I was not surprised to hear Derek Gunn talk about as an informed-ish speculation that they would not like hate trading Jalen. That's the only way I can. I don't think they're gonna trade Jalen. I think it's like 4%, 2%, whatever you want to say. And I get people are listening to this. They're 8-2. They just want this is not us. This is Derek Gunn from people in the building that are frustrated with him. So like, I don't think they're gonna trade him. I don't, but it's not as crazy as people.
I think
it's
pretty crazy, personally. The trading part. I don't think it's. I think the trading part is crazy, and I think that was conjecture more than something you heard. But I could be wrong.
I don't.
You think they told Derek Gunn, "Hey, we might trade him"?
No. I think that when you are constantly hearing how frustrated they are with somebody, the idea of trade, like it would be like if Tucker, I'm going to use you, unfortunately, right? Let's say Rod kept complaining to you. Rod's our boss. For those not listening. Being like, oh my God, Tucker messed up again. I'm so fresh with him. Like week after week, right? And then someone's like, hey, do you think they'd fire Tucker? I don't think you'd be like, whoa, no shot, right? Right. You'd be like, I mean, yeah, they seem pretty frustrated with him. So I think Derek Gunn, I don't want to speak for him, obviously knows, and this is why he said it, like he still wins all the time. He represents a franchise well. He makes a lot of money. So of course the chances they trade Jalen are slim. But if you are hearing what Derek Gunn is saying, right? And we all agree that this is not like a new thing. Then I think like we're being a little naive to think a forward-thinking organization wouldn't cut him another check.
We don't know who Derek Gunn heard this from. We don't know who in the building. We agree that he heard it, but we don't know. Like if it's not Howie Roseman saying it to him, then it doesn't. Then what am I supposed to take that with? If we're talking about trading Jalen, different thing about frustrations in the building, or he's not running the offense the way I or this guy or whatever thinks he's supposed to. It's another thing to take the step to say they would consider trading him. So unless it's Jeffrey Lurie or Howie Roseman he's talking to, like I just don't take that very. I just don't take it real. Like I can't.
But I think
there's no way they trade him. Like I would put it at zero. I know you said 2%. I would put it at 0%.
Right. So we're arguing.
The point is, the fact is 2%. Like, we probably shouldn't even mention it. Yes. That's my point. I mean, it's so nonsensical. Like, I think there's no way. But I would say zero. I would also say 2, but it ain't happening.
I would also say there was a period of 2020, and I know this is nowhere close to that, where the idea of trading Carson was like, oh, there's no way.
Nah,
that's 100%.
But they 100%. Were losing and stuff. Yes, agreed, they were a bad team. Like, this is nonsensical.
Right. My opinion is not they should trade Jalen.
I'm saying I don't believe that. I don't believe that they have had that discussion in the building, is my point. Okay. I don't believe that Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie have ever in the last year plus, like since the Super Bowl, like the last year plus, like who knows what happened in 2023 and what the conversations they had or whatever. I'm saying since last season, I don't think they have had one conversation on trade.
Okay.
That's what I think.
All
right. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Okay. So am I getting fired?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, Rod doesn't talk about...
Rod wants to meet with you after the show.
Yeah. Exactly.
Is there more conversation about me being fired or Jalen being traded?
Both. It's a good one.
Either?
I mean, probably neither. I mean, I would probably say Jalen, honestly.
Nice.
Outrageous. Much rather trade Tucker.
All right, guys. So anyway, they're going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I can tell.
This
yeah.
is just is what it is to for the Eagles. You know, like, it is what it is.
They just, this is what
it's always going to be interesting. There's always going to be drama. I will also say the last thought I have on this, I was thinking about this yesterday. If they do end up messing this up with Jalen, and let's just say on the 2% chance he's gone, then I do think it's fair to start questioning like how they handle franchise quarterbacks.
I do too.
Like
no, you're right about
Jalen has done. Look, I'm not saying on the field he's perfect, but guess what? Nobody on the field is perfect, right? Like,
I agree.
If people in the building want to point fingers at Jalen, like they better be careful, because like I've defended the coaches, but ultimately, and to be clear, I personally do not think the leak is Kevin Petullo, but whatever.
I don't either. Yeah.
For the speculation online that it was, I think it's most definitely not. You know, like if people like, let's say it's, I don't want to speculate on who it is, but no one should be pointing the finger at Jalen because nobody on that.
Yeah,
offense
I don't want to speculate either.
And it's JJ Brown.
No, I'm
yeah, nobody on that offensive staff, nobody on that offensive side of the ball has, unless it's Jalen Phillips, right? Like,
I'm
kidding. Like, nobody that could be leaking this has done a good enough job to point a finger at Jalen.
Yeah, you're right about
that.
Is
the best way I can phrase it.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to final thoughts, my friend.
All right. So I actually think I have like a banger of a final thought. All right.
It's funny because my final thought includes you and Tucker.
Okay. So maybe it won't be that good. That? I think it's pretty surprising there's no ads in books.
Huh.
Like at the end of a chapter.
Day and age, it's not surprising years ago, but you're saying like now.
Yeah. Like at the end of a chapter,
you're right.
Like a Toyota ad.
It probably will at some point.
You're right. A Window Nation ad.
Yeah, it probably will at some point.
They don't have it on like your Kindle?
No. Well,
I don't think that would count for what it's worth.
But and even then it's just the screensaver type thing. And it's just to buy other books. Like, so there's
it's still an ad, but yeah.
But it's not in the book itself. It's only in like when you close the book and like the Kindle.
I get what
screen.
You're saying. So when you flip from page one to two.
No, there's nothing in the book. It's just when you first turn it on, a screen will light up and there'll be like a book you can buy, and then you swipe it and then you're in the book and
Okay. It just honestly,
I think it's a really interesting call.
You would think in a world that is so
everything is monetized.
We have ads, right?
Everything's monetized.
There is something about books that Elliot, people have decided is like a holy ground.
I really like this, dude. You're right.
Thank you.
And it should be. I love that there are no ads there, but
it's just crazy.
So
the only reason I was thinking there could not be is because every other thing we advertise in theory, like is a right now thing, and a book is not really.
Forever.
But like there are certain brands.
You would think with Kindle though, you could do it now.
You could do
it
with Kindle for sure.
Finish a chapter.
Yeah. I don't think Kindle would count, but I get your point. I'm thinking of like a printed book.
I get what you're saying. Yeah. But still.
But again, even Kindle.
The fact that it's not even Kindle says something.
There is something about a society that we have decided books are above ads.
And it's really good.
It's kind of beautiful. It's kind of random.
I love it. It's a great call.
Like you tell me one page at the end of a chapter with like a
Sarah Jessica Parker had 135 books worth of no ads.
And think about magazines. Magazines are like 100% ads. TV shows, ads, radio shows, ads, pods, every other type of entertainment we consume has an ad. Can you think of another thing in our life?
I got nothing.
We even put ads on the sides of cars.
Put them on in baseball stadiums on the top.
Actually, here's another question. Like, what is another thing in our life that you would be shocked to see an ad in? When I'm in the hospital,
the doctor's office.
When I'm in the hospital, there are definitely things on the wall. Like,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it's a good point. You're right. There are not many at the church, I guess, like a church or a synagogue or something like that.
Like a church bulletin has like local businesses.
But that's like not, that's, I think that's different than what you're talking about, right?
Yeah. A little bit, but
that's because that's not the church. That's just letting people put something on a board. Like the church is not trying to like sell you these
things. Yeah, that's fair.
That's like a community board.
The church is not making money off of that.
They're just letting people find other people. So I think that's a little different. I think, but that says something that it's we have to go to like the synagogues books, and mosques and
museums,
churches as a
museums,
way to.
Museums, I feel like probably have
museum
them.
Might not, but if they do, it's probably for their own stuff. Like, hey, come to this exhibit. Fascinating. Look at you.
Now let me ask you: would you be okay with it?
No ads in my books. Nope.
It's funny because think keep of how little
sacred ground
it would actually impact your experience.
Of course, you just flip to the next
exactly.
Page. Yeah, no big deal. Yeah. Like whatever. Which is why, like, the whole thing. Like,
honestly, I should. I don't know if I want to be the person. That
no,
makes this
happen, you know, I don't think you want to be remembered as
the person.
If there
was a way for me
books,
to make money off of it,
you'd do it.
Yeah.
That's good. All right. So here's mine. And this is about you guys. And I've wondered this a lot. And I've thought about this with you a lot, Elliot. And I think about it with you, Tucker, too.
But more with me.
No, both of you, really.
Okay.
It's really, it was you early. And then as we've, you know, hung with Tucker a lot more with Tucker, too. So like, I root for Temple football, right? Like, I love Temple because I went there. But like, I'm not like super invested in Temple. I know you're not either, right? Like I want them to win.
Agreed. Yeah.
Go to a bowl game. That'd be cool, right?
Yeah. I would follow along.
Leeds.
Yes.
Up and down, trying to stay like.
Yeah.
As someone who has really, truly only rooted for the four Philadelphia teams in a real way, like I root for Temple football because I went there, but it's like, come on.
Yeah.
Like that Rule One season, like that was really cool. How do you root for a team? Invest.
Yeah.
I'm talking Tucker watches every freaking Temple football game. Every one.
Got my Temple shirt on.
Yes, exactly. How do you invest
it is.
In a team
looks like a Sixer shirt
that you know can never win the ultimate thing? Like there's no like Temple, let's win a bowl game. Like you're not competing for a national championship and you never will. Leeds. Let's stay.
They're never, almost
you're,
never
hopefully
win
it's it, when you get DBL, it's like, let's just stay out of the bottom. Like,
right.
I'm fascinated by that. And you watch every game. You lock in a Leeds. You wear your Leeds gear. Like, it's just interesting to me because my own fan thing has always been just rooting for a title and that's it. And then, you know, improvement toward title or always working towards that goal. What's it like to root for the team without that like potential, like win it all goal?
So this is why I was into the NBA Cup in a way other people were not. I think I'm trying to think how to like phrase it. It's really only those
fascinating.
It's only those four leagues that only prioritize and acknowledge the ultimate goal.
Yeah.
Like, it truly is. If Leeds were to finish in the top eight this year and make a European league, it would be like, it would be celebrated in the streets. Like it would it'd be huge, right? Yeah. And they would not do anything if they got there. They'd get smoked every game. But if they made it, like when they went up, now that is winning a championship for one.
Yes,
I'm just
you're right.
It, you're
and that's
right?
why I thought the Leeds was, that's why the Tucker thing really propelled my thoughts on it. Like I've always thought with you, but I was like, at least you have that. Like watching every single Temple football game every year is like real commitment. To like, especially lately, to like,
and Temple, I mean,
to
no
nothing,
offense.
To nothing at the end of the tunnel. Like, there's no glory at the end of the
tunnel. And then Tucker, you can go, I don't want to, but like, I do think it makes me, like, this is why when the Eagles played the Super Bowl in 2022, I was able to say,
I think it's
already, like, if they lose, it's no big deal, right? Like, it's such an amazing accomplishment. I think there is a level of, I don't prioritize winning and losing in how I view things as much.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
It's
acceptable loss, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, you're right. It is fascinating. It permeates through everything else. That's interesting. Tucker?
Yeah, I think you root for moments instead of championships. Right? Like
Temple's tough though, man.
Like, it is. And
like,
I get it.
Like Leeds, I get your point. But him, like
he's the one who really propelled this forward. That's why I thought about Leeds before, but once I realized that Tucker watches every single Temple game, I was like, that is a commitment that I can't imagine.
Go ahead, sorry.
But like you, I don't like they could win a conference, like they could win a bowl game, like those are acceptable goals, and those are something you can root for. But like, it's more about winning one game or an upset. Like
I know
it's more about moments and crazy things. Like I don't know, I still remember pretty much every game from when I was in college.
Yeah,
like
it's wild.
They were really good.
Well, I'm just saying it's just a memory.
I honestly don't know if I watched a single Temple football game.
I wish I would have gone to Temple games more when I went to Temple.
Like, I will say, like my freshman year, I don't think I stayed for an entire game the entire time.
That's fine. I think as long as you
and then by the time my junior year and senior year happened, like that was the coolest thing when I was there, when Matt Rhule was there, was people actually talked about Temple.
So that's it. That maybe that's part of it too, is he was actually at the school when Matt Rhule was there. So there was like, he actually got to feel excitement. Got to feel some excitement. I did too. They got to feel some excitement around campus, which we didn't when we were there.
Now, I also think what it does is it makes it like, when they tie, like if Temple were to, I know there's no ties in college football, but if they were to tie Alabama,
Are ties in college football. Oh, no, there are not in college.
I forgot.
Yeah, I was thinking of the NFL. Yeah.
But like, it does make it, I think it honestly would be exhausting to be a fan of a team. And maybe that's what the Eagles fans are going through, that wins, that like, to use Manchester City, right? They're expected to win every single game they play. They're expected to win every league they're in, and anything else is unacceptable. Like Leeds, when they win a game against a good team, it's like, oh my God. So I think there is highs.
It's
that don't
moments.
Come with
I agree.
That.
It's more of
and I do think like there's something to expectations ruin fun.
For sure.
Like in, just in general in sports, like the Eagles, even like the Sixers, like the best time we had watching the process Sixers was like,
or this year,
the January when they won 10 games before Embiid got hurt the first time. Yeah. Like, that was the most fun before expectations took over.
The
it's the same thing with
shot New York, the strangle thing. Yeah. I remember
like
that,
all
yeah.
that stuff. Like that was the most fun we had.
Yeah. I agree.
It's a good answer, guys. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting question.
It's fascinating to me because I have my worldview of only like win it all or build toward, at least there's the hope of building towards it. Fascinating. Yeah.
So Temple Tulane, 3:45 on Saturday. Still searching for bowl eligibility if anybody wants to come.
Can't wait.
Yeah, I mean, I respect
it. Every game.
I went to West Point last week.
Would you say that is a Temple sweater?
It is.
I'm not disputing that. I'm saying it is clearly more of a Sixers sweater.
Yeah, it looks more like a Sixers thing.
Agreed.
Than a Temple.
It's a Sixers sweater. I like it. I'm just saying.
I mean, Philly sweater.
You could give me 10 guesses and I wouldn't have guessed Temple.
Well,
even
my brother.
On you.
Got it, and he's the
for those not watching YouTube. It just says Philly.
It just says
that's
Philly
why we're
in a cursive that is similar to Philly. Though,
it was taken from the Temple equipment room, so
I like it.
I
believe. Will you tell your brother to give me one?
Sure. I'll ask.
Could he steal me one too? I mean, he's just gonna steal them. I would like it too.
Oh, he is. I don't know if I should say it on the podcast. Anything you want.
All right. Hold it up, brother. Me being somebody who watches every Temple game, I should.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes.
All right. We'll be back later in the week. Can't wait to see what story we have to talk about.
It'll always be something.
Something will be out. All right, until then. He's Ivan James.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.